Blog Talk Radio.
This is Spreaker Web Radio.
Aloha, this is Enki, you know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satayuga, time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio, where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens. And the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and love abound. No more falsehoods or derisions. Mystic crystal drinking. Aloha. I'm Dr. Sasha Levin, Dean of the School of Tantra. On this show, All Chakra Tantra, we explore Tantra in the sense of weaving, being able to center yourself and embrace the opposites within you at each level of your consciousness, each chakra. You learn to work your inner power plants that generate security, sexuality, power, love, communication, vision, and feelings of oneness with everyone and everything. You get all your chakras going together within you and between you and your lovers, and you really connect and feel the spirit. Call in your questions. We're happy to answer them.
Join us on All Chakra Tantra.
All Chakra Tantra.
And here are your hosts, Janet and Sasha.
Aloha, and welcome to Aquarian Radio. Welcome to All Chakra Tantra. Today's show, the title is What You Do in Tantra School. And today is January 3rd, 2013. I'm your host, Janet Kirilesan, and my co-host today is...
Dr. Sasha Lesson. Aloha.
So, Dr. Lesson is going to tell us a little bit more about today's subject.
Well, before I do, I would like to tell you about a very interesting thing that we learned in psychology. It's called the Zeigarnik effect, and that is that what you're in the middle of or didn't get to complete hangs on in your mind, and you're more likely to remember it if it's incomplete than if you completed it. So at the end of this intro to these programs that we had there, I was reciting the last part of the Age of Aquarius, and I never got to say the last line, which is the mind's true liberation. And so that's the last line.
So are you saying the mind's true liberation, like
yeah,
the mind is true liberation, or
that's
the
right.
Mind true liberation?
No, the mind's true liberation.
I always thought it was the mind true liberation.
No, it's true liberation means you're free
whole,
of all the attachments.
The whole saying is,
okay,
harmony
so,
and understanding.
Go ahead, sing it.
I don't know.
And love abound.
Sympathy and love abound.
No more falsehoods or derisions.
No more falsehoods or derisions.
Mystic crystal dreams and visions.
And
the mind's true
liberation,
Aquarius. And so I never got to finish it. Now I did, and I hope that our techie will complete it so I don't have to go through this each time.
Well,
that's the Zeigarnik effect.
Wonderful tech, Manny Bombardier. Bombardier. Anyway, he's working on it, and we hope soon that that'll be corrected so Sasha can relax every time he hears it.
Yeah. So back to Tantra School. Yeah. So this is such an incredibly moving experience to be in these Tantra schools that I've been doing for many years, and doing with Janet for many years, and to just see how people whose hearts are full of love learn how to totally transform that through their knowledge and understanding and ability to center themselves and help people on their growth paths through their love lives. And so that's what becoming a tantrika, a tantric practitioner, or someone that can help yourself, the people you're involved with, or even professionally help other people to a whole human being kind of relating, the way that we teach doing that in our school, the School of Tantra. And so what we're going to do today is, Janet has been through the school as a student and as a co-teacher, is going to relate as we talk about what it is to be like, to arrive here in paradise and to experience coming to Tantra school and meeting the people and just what that whole thing is like for you. And it'll be sort of a composite since she's done it so many times, but you can probably even remember that time when there was 33 people here.
Yes, I've attended hundreds of Tantra school over the past 15 years. I arrived here in 1997. Arriving at the Tantra community was very interesting for me. When I arrived with my luggage in hand, there was a gardener who was out in the yard, and he was gardening completely naked. And so I went, wow, this is, I'm home, you know. And so it's very tropical here. The school is up against the mountains. There's 12 miles of rainforest behind us. This is the forest preserve, and it's absolute paradise here. And so, what was your first fill in the gap?
When you got here, and Tantra school is starting, and now it's there, and what's it like to come into this group of people, some of whom you know and some of whom you don't know?
Well, for me, it was interesting. Tantra school, I'm trying to remember the first time through it, but I started with a Tantra seminar with you.
Okay, start with that. It's the same thing.
The first one was at Mount Madonna,
mm-hmm.
and the second one was in upstate New York at the Growth Center.
Yeah, and so this is like a condensed version of what we teach each person in the program to be able to do. So that here I am performing, leading a weekend group, which is what people at the end of the first training will be able to do. Go ahead, Jen.
Right. So what stands out in my mind from my earliest exposure to your form of Tantra was the two things, the pujas and the demonstrations on the female ejaculatory orgasm. And I remember when I first saw a person ejaculate, a woman ejaculate in person, live and not on a video, and how powerful that was, I vowed to be able to do that someday in front of an audience. And in that moment, I said, I'm going to dedicate my life towards, you know, being able to do this type of thing, because it was just so transformative. And the puja, for me, I was going through a very difficult time. In 1997, my mother and father were both very sick, didn't know which one was going to die first. And my mother seemed to be more closer to death than my father. In fact, at the conference in upstate New York, I got a call, and my sister wanted me to come home. She thought things were pretty bad, that Mom might die. She didn't end up dying. That was September until like the December of that year of 97. But the pujas and the work that we do here at the School of Tantra in Maui, Hawaii, deal with your programming you receive from your mother and father. So in the puja, we did some exercises. There was one for the mother and one for the father. And a puja, you want to explain what a puja is?
Puja just means offering or ceremony. And so that during the first week of the Tantra school, one of the things that we really get into doing ultimately is working out how you could distinguish for yourself, and then how you could teach people the same thing, to distinguish your lovers from your dads and your mothers, and to be able to get past the automatic programming from your childhood and from your culture, and to be able to just be yourself in the moment. So we really go through that in the very first week. That's one of our major things that we accomplish.
So the thing that really stood out for me in the puja that was at Mount Madonna in Northern California was the beautiful music, live music by Sophia, the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just going from station to station. When you go from station to station, you look in the eyes of the person before you, and this circle was a circle of men facing a circle of women. So each, you would rotate partners, and these were all beautiful ceremonial exercises that took you deeper into this experience. And so I was just sobbing, tears were just flowing down my eyes, especially when we got to the exercises about mother and father.
Well, let me just say that, you know, if you're in a place where you can do this, closing your eyes is really good. If you could just picture sort of the earth mother goddess, the essence of mother, just holding you, just really holding you and really feeling the child within you, and just feel her absorbing any kind of pain or rancor or problems you have with women or with your own mother. And just imagine that happening, and this loving mother, essence of mothering, holds you and transmits any kind of grief or upset you have to the earth for reprogramming, and you can just feel yourself letting go. Well, that's the kind of thing that happens in a puja as you successively go from partner to partner. And so you have these symbolic exercises, and then in succeeding days, you work through the particulars that allow you as an individual to be free of your programming and to be the chooser in your life now, and how to teach other people to do that.
So I didn't really know what path I was getting on when I got on that train back in Mount Madonna, but it was divine perfection, the timing, because my parents were crossing over, and so I was just so deeply moved by the experience, and it started my healing, my deep healing that I needed to have with both my parents. At first, before I went through tantra school, I kind of believed that my mother was I didn't have as good of a relationship with my mother than my father, that my mother was kind of abusive to me in some ways, although I didn't really go deeply into what the abuse was like with my mother until I did get into some of the therapy that we go through in tantra school. The benefit of doing that is I eventually have become very free of my programming, and our exposure to our parents is what causes this initial imprinting or programming on our psyche. And so mine was, I was shutting down because my mother was very abusive because she was crazy. She was schizophrenic, undiagnosed. And my mother and father were a system, and my father was in a part of this system, two-person system, because he allowed it to happen. You know, it would have been better, perhaps, had he removed the children from mom's exposure, especially me, the youngest. However, things weren't very sophisticated back in the 50s and 60s. This is the way everybody was, and we just kind of did life day after day. So, and I have forgiven my mother through going through all the exercises.
Yeah, we say, remember, mom, remember, dad, they did the best with what they had.
However, I was deeply affected to the core of my being by what happened at the hands of my mother, that it affected my ability for happiness and joy and pleasure and even my desire to live. So little did I know when we started that weekend, those two series of weekends, this unfolding, like the lotus blossom in tantra, that would happen.
But see, what we see here is what we call the growth of a killer critic, a part of the person, little Janet, who said, you shouldn't even live.
So so we went through more of it as we got into Tantra school. But if I recall back 15 years ago when I met you, my first exposure to Tantra school wasn't your brand of Tantra school. You were still working with Charles Muir.
Oh, right.
Right, and so while you had taught several seminars, and I remember we did go off that first couple months there at the end of 97, when I moved in September of 97, and I think pretty immediately, we were over in Oahu teaching a Tantra seminar. So we were doing weekend seminars back in those days, and the first Tantra teacher certification program was done here at the Temple of Tantra,
yeah,
here in Maui, Hawaii, and it was facilitated, directed by Charles Muir, and you were his assistant.
That's right.
So do you want to say a little bit about how you decided, or what happened when you branched off from being his co-teacher to teaching your own certification program?
Well, just that I have a focus on the spiritual and bringing the spiritual into Tantra at the same time as celebrating the sexual. And Charles does that in his unique way, and I do it in my unique way. But since I've been working with Hal and Sidra Stone, they're my teachers, I'm particularly aware of what's called the energy of the chakras. And all chakra tantra, the really satisfying way that you can transcend your separate self-sense and feel another person, means that you know how to open and let other people into every one of your energy centers, so your vulnerable children can touch, so your sensual parts, of course, can touch, and you're mutually empowering each other and feeling the love going back and forth and such communication and sharing of visions that you transcend your separate self-senses and are able to do that with another person or persons or with the universe, and it puts you in contact with the entire holographic universe and the light of the creator of all that runs through everything. Something like that. Yeah,
so anyway, that was the birth of, you know, it's just like religion. It used to be the Catholic Church, and now there's all these different branches. So it's a natural evolution. And so Charles was living here the first 5 years, and we started, Sasha and I met each other. We fell madly, passionately, deeply in love, and we're very much in love 15 years later. So Tantra does work, by the way.
It works for us.
And Kiss, not Kiss, what's his name?
Sting?
Sting, yeah. Why do I call him Kiss? Sting.
You want to kiss Sting?
No. Anyway, Sting will tell you, you know, he's got a very successful 25-30-year marriage, that Tantra really does work, especially when you do the communications part of it and you learn how to work through the difficulties of a relationship, which is part of the voice dialogue.
Oh, the difficulties are the best part. That's where you can learn about the parts of yourself that are underdeveloped, and you can get it in exaggerated form from whoever you're relating to.
Right. You see your disowned self, and that's the part that you over-admire or you react to negatively. And I think people mostly notice their disowned selves first by what turns them off about other people, what they don't like. And then they might come in with the, oh, I'm overly admiring somebody. But anyway, I digress. Let's go back to the subject at hand, which is...
Okay, so here it is. You've come into this Tantra school, and there's some people you know, and there's some people you don't know. And you know, if you were a camera, what would you see? What does it look like? What is Tantra school?
Well, in Tantra school, as taught by Janet and Sasha Lesson.
Yeah, what do you see, camera?
Camera. Well, the primary teacher is Dr. Sasha Lesson, and I, Janet, tend to co-facilitate the process, and we have a book.
Oh, yeah.
Which has,
yeah, when you come up this when you park your car and get out.
Oh, when you park your car and get out,
yeah.
You're coming. Well, the parking lot is way down below, and you're coming up a gradual hill with a waterfall, natural waterfall and stream that runs through the property. And there's the moment you turn a corner from the parking lot, you start getting into this incredible vegetation, these trees that tower over your head. And you, Sasha, Dr. Listen, planted all this stuff 34 years ago, which is, and there's some of it was here, a couple trees were here, but some of these trees, it's amazing how fast things grow in the Maui tropical jungle. So then you come up this walkway, this path that is partially paved, and part of it is these stones that climb the mountains that you actually, you created those stones yourself, right?
And yes.
Yeah, so this is all...
So it's really interesting. Things grow better and bigger in Maui than any place. It's like this geological report. This is the most amazing growth place in the world.
In the world, yes. And right behind the temple here, where we are sitting, broadcasting live, is the wettest spot on Earth. The wettest... It used to be Kauai about 3 to 6 months ago. It shifted over here to something happened. The earth shift happened. So now this is the wettest spot in the world. And we are right at the foothills of this place. Now the house, there's several little buildings and a little with a central courtyard, and the path goes up the center of it. And the main house is on the left-hand side of the path, and it looks like, kind of like a ski chalet with a big deck out in front. And you come up the steps and in the door, and then there's this huge 35-foot kind of living room. And it's got vaulted ceilings, and there's little to no furniture. There's just a couple tables and mostly futons and pillows.
What do the people do as they come in? What do you notice?
I just noticed that they go, wow, look at this, and then there's a view. You go over to the, you know, it has a ski chalet window, so you go over to the south side of the building, and there you look out the windows, and there you see Haleakala. Sometimes you can't see it if there's clouds, but Haleakala is the second oldest volcano here in Maui. And it's sometimes shrouded by a necklace of clouds, and sometimes you can't see its head, and sometimes it's clear. And then to the to your left, as you're looking out the window, which is the southeast exposure, is the Kahului Harbor, and you can see planes coming in, and you could see if you look really.
What do you see in the room? Who's there? What kind of people are there?
I just wanted to say you can see the windsurfers at Okipa. And then you kind of go around and look at who's here. And if you're first, there might be nobody here. But if you're arriving late, you might arrive to a circle. People have already gathered, and they're sitting in pillows, and they're facing towards the teachers.
Right. And so the first things that we do are part of the communication lesson that we gave in an earlier workshop, where we have people do some relating exercises, get to know one another, and they do things like role-playing, which is really fun. You get somebody new, you talk to them for a while, and then you become them, and all that stuff. There's all these lessons, and what happens is you start to relate to people and really know each other well, real fast. And
well, before we get to the exact lessons, we tend to do a check-in, right? And
absolutely.
Everybody shares a couple minutes about who they are, whether they're in relationship or not, if they are in relationships or seeking relationships, what style. You know, we're living in a very complex world, and it's not just heterosexual monogamy anymore. So some people are heterosexual and monogamous, but some people are bisexual or polyamorous or gay or lesbian, or we've even had a couple transgendered, post-op, pre-op. We have people that are monogamous, and then we have people that want to have multiple relationships, and even within that, we've got people that identify as polyamorous, and some people are into the BDSM field, some people are swingers. And so we kind of set the ground in the introduction about who you are, what you're looking for in life, and a little bit of your tantric background. Have you studied tantra before? If so, who did you study with them? And then we help each person get to know each other by the next exercise, which is the voice, the act of listening, right?
Absolutely. And we really want to put this all in the context of that what we're talking about is weaving, and that we're using tantra in this sense that's really, everybody understands that what this is all about is learning how to selectively be the chooser of how open and closed they allow themselves to be with other people, in which of their energy systems they're opening or closing to each other. So one of the first things we teach is this simple thing. We have a whole lesson about this already recorded on active listening, saying in your own words what you heard the other person saying, and finding out if you got it right, asking, empathizing with the feelings, and sharing behavioral requests. How when you learn how to communicate, that's what it really comes down to. So we taught this in the class. What did it give you to have this tool?
Well, it's an amazing tool. Active listening, the history of it goes back to, the 40s or the 50s? It was created by,
Carl Rogers.
Carl Rogers, and it's still the basis of other type of communication styles, like nonviolent communications is based in active listening. Many different other communication styles are based in this active listening. And we go back to the core, because active listening is as important now as it was then, and it's pretty simple. It's not as complex as nonviolent communications. And that's what we want to do. We start simple. So when you get into what I learned from active listening is that if you get into a situation where it's obvious that you're miscommunicating, you're missing the communication with each other, you slow it down and you use active listening. And active listening is valuable for like anybody. If you're in a work field, especially if something like that's going to, maybe somebody will get hurt, so you want to say, tell me what you heard, make sure they got the directions, repeat, have people repeat, kind of paraphrase what you're saying and slow it down. So active listening is very good for slowing things down, because that's what tantra is about. It's about slowing things down.
Yeah, and listening isn't just about saying the words. You say you also listen to what I hear you sighing, and I see you slumping or whatever. That's part of active listening too.
Right,
getting feedback.
You're paying attention to the body language.
Yeah.
And then you repeat back at a certain point in active listening after each person feels a little bit complete in the exchange of the dialogue. Oh, what you gathered, what you gleaned from it, your understanding, the other person's logic, and I think that was a big lesson for me, is because, men are from Mars and women from Venus, our logic tends to be very different. And that might be a major way that men and women especially are missing each other, and they think that they're on the same page. But when you do active listening, and especially getting down to the logic, you understand that, they're not getting it. And so you help.
You need to, by getting it. It isn't just that they understand, but we all need to be felt. We active listening demands of the other person, I want you to put yourself in my place and feel what it's like to be me. And if you do that, then we can go on to the next thing. But I want you to feel what it's like to be me in this situation.
Yeah,
and in return, I'll be willing to feel what it's like to be you.
Yeah, we could only step in each other's shoes and identify with the apparent other and feel each other. We wouldn't have war in this world. So that we can at very least stop the war between two people.
What was that? If some gift to get a gift to see ourselves, this other see us. Some Scotch poem.
Scotch poem. I don't know, but that's very cute, honey. So there's four parts to it, or whatever. The first part is kind of the paraphrasing, and the second part is the logic. You understanding what their points are, and then of course the third part is is the empathy, which is what nonviolent communication takes, you know, and does a lot with. But this very simple structure of active listening, it's very easy to integrate into your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're missing each other, you request for it by name. Hey, honey, let's do some active listening right now. Sometimes you're like, hey, we got to do some active listening.
Okay, so in Tantra School, we're training people to be able to listen this way to other people, to their perspective seekers that come to them and those they're training. And so that's what we're training them to do. And this is to listen to the other person first, get what the other person's saying, let them know they feel felt and understood, and then find out what they need of you, if you're the practitioner, or of a person in their life. So it comes down to specific behavioral requests.
Right.
It's such a basic skill for anyone that's going to be a tantric practitioner.
Yes. And sometimes if you're listening to someone and they just tend to go on and on and on, and so you're kind of in this one-sided dialogue, it's a diatribe, right? You can learn how to slow it down and say, well, wait, I'd like to, you know, repeat back because I really want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So what I get so far that you're saying is, you know, an A, B, C, D. Is that correct? Am I getting you?
With some people, you need to have agreed upon time limits.
The phone off me. I can't get
it. But anyway, it's an extremely valuable tool. I use it all the time. I recommend it all the time.
We don't
so so we've had people then. So in this introductory set of ceremonies, we have built-in active listening, and you get to hang out with and do these different exercises. And so by now, two people have actively listened about what they want to do with Tantra, how they're going to integrate it into their careers and all that sort of stuff. And now these two people are asked to pretend that they are the other person. And Janet and I'll just do that. You've probably got some sense of who we are just from listening to us thus far. But now I'm going to be her. I'm going to be she. And she is going to be me. And we're going to role play each other. And then we're going to give feedback on how accurate we thought that was and whether there's anything we wanted to add. Okay, so Sasha, tell me about yourself.
I'm Sasha, and I'm an athlete, and I every day need to get out into nature and move my body. I came out of the womb wiggling, and I am wiggly to this day, and I can hardly sit still, and that keeps me very young. I'm a very young 72-year-old, and I'm alive, and I love my wife. I love my home. I love being married. I love my kitties. I'm a scholar. I love to get up and study. I have a PhD in anthropology from UCLA. I have several degrees and postdoctoral degrees in psychology and counseling. And I'm a learnaholic. I'm an education freak, and I just love learning and teaching. I love to teach, and so every day I get on my computer and I write articles, I write books on anthropology, psychology, tantra, polyamory, whatever strikes peace, yoga, whatever strikes my fancy, I follow, and I'm true to me, and that's who I am.
Well, thank you, Sasha. You're a good guy. Wow, I wish I could be that cool. But anyway, I'm Janet, I guess. And as Janet, I am a channel for wisdom that this planet desperately needs to civilize itself and respect the consciousnesses that are here and let each person's light shine. And I am the CEO of everything. I get it all done. I ride herd on 9 feline cats and lots of other hip cats that hang out on my pad. And
you mean human cats?
Human cats, yeah. The kind. So, I really think this is fun doing radio shows. Okay, so then we give each other feedback. Well, Janet, you know, I'm glad that you said all those things, and I'm glad you didn't say about the junk parts in me too. That was very nice of you.
Oh, thank you, honey. What I might add is that was very nice what you said about me, and I am an author. I'm a co-author with several books. We have Polyamory, Many Loves, that my beloved Sasha, you took and taught me how to write. And at first, I used to cry with all these red marks, just like high school. But I learned to be a writer, and I really appreciate that. And so we have Polyamory, Many Loves, which I started, and we co-authored How to Really Love a Woman. And, you know, I work very closely with you on Anunnaki Gods No More, and I helped set it all up and get it up there on Create Space, which is up on Amazon. So, you know, I'm very involved with all this information that we're pumping out to the universe and that we're doing here on Aquarian Radio. I want to do a little bit of a two-second commercial here so I don't forget, because we're just having this dialogue, is that you can find out more about our Tantra School on schoolofTantra.com, which is our new WordPress site, and schoolofTantra.net is the old site. Now, the old site, for those who have ever seen it, has so much information on it that we are dividing it up into about 10 different sites. And I'm going to keep it up for probably the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years until I get everything moved to other sites. But it's a wealth of information. It involves the first 15 years of our relationship. We didn't know what we were doing, just put everything on one site at one point. So now we're a little bit more computer savvy. So please do go to schooloftantra.net. I am not going to be updating it, so you'll see expired dates, because all the new material is on schooloftantra.com. So that was my little commercial. Thank you very much.
And so ends the first day of Tantra School. The people all ate together and they have homework to do.
Oh, I wanted to say one more thing about the first day. What we do is we generate behavioral requests. And we, through all this that we learn about of each other, we say, what can I do to help you heal these hurts? And normally, people who are focusing this much time on an issue focus on the pain in their lives and where they start to disconnect from each other and what they need to work on. Because it's really important to work on your programming, to work on what keeps you from your bliss, your chakra blocks. We call them chakra blocks. And that's where you get stuck and where you really feel you need some help. So we generate behavioral requests. And one of my earliest ones from Tantra School was for Dr. Lesson, Sasha, who is my partner, is make me toast every morning. What was that like when you heard me say, make me toast?
The first thing that came to me was the joke. I took my fingers and I pointed them and I went, you're toasted. I made her toast. So I thought, well, this is a great chance to joke with you, but then I like taking care of you. I used to take care of my little sister, and it was fun for me to make you breakfast.
So I didn't know why I said, please make me breakfast in bed when I first started down this path. Because I was encouraged to just be spontaneous and ask for a behavioral request. But what I uncovered from this, well, maybe we should share that in day two.
We'll have much, much more to say. So ends the first day of Tantra School.
Yeah.
And so people go to either temporary quarters in some of the buildings, or in this one they were going upstairs and in the hall, and we had tents all over the yard, and there was 33 people here, and some of them were out on the deck under the stars. It was really... So it just depends on who's here, but usually the living room, the classroom is full of sleeping bodies.
Sometimes.
But
that was the old days. But, you know, some people stay in town, and it doesn't matter. Wherever you stay, Tantra School is an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And we encourage people to have spaces where they can go off and do their homework with each other. So that was it. We encourage people to take the active listening and practice it with the other students.
Yeah, well, there's specific homework that we give students.
And we give homework, and we do have a book that comes with the class. And so that's what we're going to talk about in our next show. Next show is going to be day two, and we'll be doing an episode in a couple days. But I think that's about all for today. Anything?
Yes.
Any final words you want to say?
Know that if you are being called to love and just to really be expert at loving and giving and helping people transcend their separate self sense and really open to love, then you may be attracted to being a tantrika or being a tantric practitioner. Whether you ever do it professionally or not, just being able to do it for the people who you care about.
And I wanted to add that we do exercises for all the chakras. So we start with communications, which is the throat chakra.
That's right.
So, and there's more we do in a course of a day, but that's
the
basic
first,
of what we do.
Yeah, we have a puja, which opens up to every chakra. And what I've done so far in the program is I talked about one of the exercises in the first chakra, the child chakra, where you imagine the universal mother holding you, but it would be somebody in the seminar, and you channeling that emotion. So that's a little bit for the first chakra. And we talked about the communication chakra, because I wanted people in the seminar to get to know each other straight away. And so I have them talk in this revealing way, which respects one another, and they need to know as a basic skill. And then I have them take the further skill of role-playing, which really, because role-playing is just another way of deepening your empathy. Once a person's empathized with and felt, you can work out stuff rationally. But you've got to deal with the emotion. Otherwise, it colors the negotiation, and it's not rational anymore.
Well, anyway, we'll go into this more tomorrow or the next day when we do another episode. Do tune in and go to our website, schooloftantra.com and schooloftantra.net.
And next time we'll resume the adventures of Janet as she moves through
Tantra School. And thank you and aloha from Maui, Hawaii.
Goodbye now.
Thanks for joining us today on Aquarian Radio. We broadcast daily and are scheduled on AquarianRadio.com. Listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or you can listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or listen to our archive on AquarianRadio.com. Join us again soon, and do tell your friends, the age of Aquarius and the paradigm of peace is now.
Aloha, this is Enki. You know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satya Yuga. Time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio, where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens, and the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and love abound. No more falsehoods or derisions, mystic crystal dreams and visions.
And this has been another episode here at AquarianRadio.com.
AquarianRadio.com.